It is good to see everybody here this morning. As I'm looking into the audience, I see we do have people that are visiting. I hope that you feel welcome here at the Lindo Church of Christ. And whenever you're able to and willing to, we would love you to come back and worship God together with us again and to study with us from the Word of God. My sermon this morning is actually the last in a series of lessons. We did a few lessons on the study of the three dispensations of the Bible, the Patriarch, the Mosaic, and the Christian dispensation. And then last week we began a study of following the examples of Jesus Christ. In particular, last week we pointed out that when Jesus renders a judgment on any matter, that is the end of the subject. He is God in the flesh. It is the truth of the matter. And last week we studied what Jesus has to say about organized religion and how that would apply to ourselves today in our worship of God in our assemblies. And then in our sermon last Sunday evening, we studied how the Son of God used the Word of God in order to establish authority for his actions and beliefs in religion. And again, the application is that we should use the Word of God today the same way the Son of God used the Word of God then to establish authority for our actions in religion and our practices today. Now today we're going to take the same series of lessons, but bring it down to the application of our day-to-day living as Christians. And we're going to start here in 1 John again, chapter 2 and verse 6, which says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." If you would like to summarize our lives as Christians individually from day to day, this would be it. Striving to look to the example of Jesus Christ, his life, the way he walked, the way he lived, the way he interacted with his fellow human beings, and for ourselves to walk just as he walked. It's put this way again over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." What we have here in the Word of God is the revelation of the way God in the flesh interacted with his fellow human beings, the way he treated them. And what we're going to be seeing in our lesson this morning, in our lives as Christians, we are expected to spend the rest of our lives striving to conform to this example, to treat one another the way the Lord treated us, to have our relationship with God the way Jesus had his relationship with God. The first part of this I would like to look at with you has to do with the example of the obedience of Christ. And as we go into the sermon this morning, there's something I want you to do. I'm wanting you to see how all the various verses we're looking at is saying over and over and over again, walk as he walked. Follow his example. Be like Jesus Christ, your Lord. The first one here is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Again, notice the very beginning of the text. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, walk as he walked. "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." The first thing I would like to look at in the life of Jesus, that we are to strive to walk as he walked, is the obedience of Christ. To what degree was Jesus obedient to the Father? The answer is completely, totally, 100% obedient. Now, as we go through the examples of Jesus, there's going to be something you're going to realize. You got a long way to go. You always will have a long way to go. Is there anybody here this morning that can say you are completely, totally, always obedient to the will of the Father in heaven? Jesus was. And we are to strive to have the mind of Christ, to come to the point to where we are obedient to God completely. Jesus was obedient to the point of the death of the cross. He puts it this way, over in John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." It is a continual process to beat down my will, what it is I want to do, and instead say, "Your will be done." If you are going to be a Christian, This is going to be one of your great struggles and battles to beat down your will. To learn to be obedient to God. And the goal is to get to the level of the obedience of Christ. And again, as I try to point out, you're going to spend your whole life striving to reach that level. Because you may do great one day, and the very next day completely blow it. It is a continual process to beat down our will and let His will be done. Continuing to look to the example of Christ, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 23, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." There it is again. That's another way of saying, walk as He walked. Looking to the example of Jesus Christ and walking in His steps, following His steps, living the way He lived. And the example that is given here in the life of Jesus, it says in verse 23, "Who when He was reviled did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously." What we have being described here in one word is meekness. Now, sometimes when you say the word meekness, people in the world completely misdefine and misunderstand what meekness is. They think meekness is weakness. That you're allowing people to run over you because you're just too weak and yellow to do anything about it. That is not what meekness is. Meekness is strength. Meekness is the ability to maintain control of yourself when others have completely lost control. It talks in the text here about how when Jesus was reviled, He did not lose control of Himself and revile in return. When He was suffering, He did not threaten, even though He was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And yet He did not allow the sin that was committed against Him to cause Him to sin against others. Look at this, if you will, over in Matthew 27, 12 through 14. "And while He was being accused by the chief priests and elders, He answered nothing. Then Pilate said to Him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' But He answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly." Let me ask you, why did Pilate marvel greatly? Was he thinking, "Are you an idiot? Why don't you say anything?" No. Pilate knew what he was seeing. The chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, they were accusing Him right and left. They had completely lost it. And yet Jesus had complete control to where He said nothing. Again, as we read earlier in 1 Peter, when He was reviled, He did not revile in return. That is meekness. It's put another way over in the Sermon on the Mount. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, you turn to him the other also. What's the easiest thing to do if someone strikes you on the right cheek? To hit them so hard they never think about hitting you again, right? Well, how much strength is that? How much control is that? Or someone yells at you, how much control does it take for you to yell back and yell louder? Have you ever heard someone have yelling matches? That's not meekness. Meekness is inner strength. The ability to maintain control of yourself even when others have totally lost it and they are reviling you and they are yelling at you and they are doing evil things to you. You do not respond in turn. Is that an easy thing to do? No. But that's the example of Jesus Christ. And that is the example that we are told to walk as He walked. And it is a continual struggle to rein in our emotions, to rein in our anger, to rein in our wrath, and our desire to strike back. But if we're going to really be Christians, we need to work at continually learning how to walk as He walked in meekness. Going back to Philippians, we read this text earlier. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." As I pointed out earlier, that's another way of saying walk as He walked. who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Earlier, we were talking about the obedience of Christ. What I would like you to look at right now is the humility of Christ. He is God. And yet he did not think equality with God as something to be grasped after. He was willing to let that go. And not just let it go, he let it go and completely emptied himself. He humbled himself. He became God in the flesh, a servant. Jesus was the most humble man who ever lived. If we are going to walk as he walked and have the mind of Christ, we are going to have to get the pride out. Get the arrogance out. And humble ourselves and empty ourselves. If you really get down to the heart and the core of all of our sin, it is the pride of life. It is our arrogance. It is our stubbornness. And our desire, as I pointed out earlier, to do what we want to do rather than his will. We need to become lumps of clay under the hand of God, allowing God to mold our heart, to mold our lives, to shape our lives as we humbly say, yes, Lord, your will be done. And take our pride and just let it go. Again, how many of you, whenever you look to the humility of Jesus, how many of you think, well, I got that one under control. I got that one. No, the truth of the matter is, what I see is, I got a long way to go. And there always will be, because it's a continual process of beating down my pride and humbling myself under the hand of God. Continuing now. John chapter 13, verse 15, we see an example of the humility of Jesus. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He says in verse 15 of the same chapter, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." That's another way of saying, walk as he walked. He's given us an example. What is he teaching here? He's teaching for us to be willing to become servants to one another. What are your needs? How may we serve you? Again, the great struggle in pride is, it's all about me. What I want. What are you going to do for me? What the Lord wants us to learn is to get rid of the pride. And how may we serve you? What are your needs? This is God in the flesh, getting down and wiping and washing the stinky feet of the disciples. Was that pleasant work? No. This was work he left for the lowest of the low of the servants. And yet Jesus is doing this to teach them service, to become a servant. It's kind of interesting in the church. If you've grown enough spiritually, then we let you become our servant. It's called a deacon. Those who are deacons in this congregation, that means you've grown spiritually enough to become a servant. That's literally what the word deaconos means. It means servant. And if you really grow even more spiritually, you begin to become a bigger servant, an elder. These elders, they work and they work and they work and they work and they give their entire life in service to the congregation and God. You see, in Christianity, spiritual growth means you've learned to get rid of the pride and you're putting other people's needs ahead of your own. And you're willing to serve even when it's stinky. Even when it's not fun. Even when it puts you out. You're willing to give the service because it's what they need. Continuing to look to the example of Jesus. As I told you earlier, sometimes I think people think of Jesus as this person you can just run over. Kind of a weakling. easygoing. When you think of brave people in history, who do you think about? Possibly some soldiers. And we have Medal of Honor that we give to soldiers who show bravery in battle. I'm here to tell you the most courageous, brave man who ever walked the face of the earth was Jesus the Christ. In John 10, 17 through 18, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Now you need to understand something. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter pulled that sword out and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, Jesus told him to put the sword up. And he told Peter that he could call 12 legions of angels. Now you need to understand, one angel, all by his lonesome little self, could stop all the armies on earth. 12 legions of angels, you couldn't lay a finger on it. Jesus did not have his life taken from him. He laid it down as a 100% living sacrifice. And as God in the flesh, you gave us the scriptures and the prophecies of the Old Testament about the Christ, who knows the end from the beginning. He knew every minute detail about what was coming. He knew about the scourging. He knew about the beating. He knew about the crucifixion in complete detail. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you remember his prayer? "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." And he prayed it three times so intently that at the end, his sweat became as great drops of blood. He knew what was coming. And yet he marched straight into it. Whenever the mob came out in the middle of the night and they told him that they were seeking Jesus, what did he do? Did he run? No, he said, "Hide me." And he marched straight into it. He could have stopped the thing at any time he wanted to. Every stripe that came upon his back is because he allowed it. Every minute on the cross is because he allowed it. He was obedient to the will of God to the point of the death of the cross. He was and is the most courageous man who ever lived. And we are to walk as he walked. The point I'm trying to get across to you is this. If you are going to be a Christian, a real Christian, you got to have a spine. You got to have some courage. You got to be brave because you are going to face all kinds of pressure from the world. And you are going to have to voluntarily, willingly be willing to take this pressure, take the slings, take the arrows, take the name calling, take the ridicule, take the isolation, and hold your head high. You're going to have to be courageous if you're going to be a Christian. Because the world is going to attack you and try to tear you down. If you haven't got the courage, you'll compromise and you'll deny the Lord and you'll leave. So again, when you look to the example of Jesus Christ and his courage, how do you fare up when you look at yourself? Well, I got a long way to go. And I always will. Let's go further. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." And notice the last part of the verse, "Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." That's another way of saying, walk as he walked. And in particular here, what we're looking at is the mercy of Jesus, the long suffering of Jesus. Bear with one another. The very first definition of love is that love is long-suffering. You don't give up on people just because there is pain involved. Forbearing with one another means we don't give up on people even though they've hurt us and hurt us again. And we'd be willing to forgive them. Now you look at the example of Jesus in this. In Luke 23:34, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." That's an amazing statement, isn't it? If you understand the context. He's praying for the people that are mocking him. He's praying for the people that hate him. He's praying for his enemies. He loves them with a perfect love. Let me ask you, do you think Jesus is long-suffering here? That's an amazing example of long-suffering. He wants them saved. He wants them forgiven. He is dying for them. When you come to understand the magnitude of the mercy of God and the long-suffering of God, and then I look to myself, you know what I realize? I got a long way to go. And I always will. Because it is so easy to get fed up with people sometimes over the least little things and just say, "Forget you, buddy. You hurt me. Forget you, buddy. You offended me. I'm writing you off and checking you off. You ain't never going to have anything to do in my life again." The Lord wants us to learn to have His mercy. His long-suffering. We have a long way to go. And we always will. 1 John 3:16. "By this we know love. Because He laid down His life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What we see here, again, in the last part of this, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, and how Jesus laid down His life for us is, again, another way of saying, walk as He walked. But the example here now is the love of Jesus. And the love of Jesus, the way it was shown in the ultimate level, was that He died on the cross for us. I know you've heard that probably 1,000 times, but please let that sink in. Don't let it wash over your heart and mind like water over a rock. Please realize this event actually happened. Jesus really was scourged. He really did die on that cross at Calvary. And He really knows you personally, individually, and He loves you so much, He went through this for you. If we're going to walk as He walked, we need to strive to learn to love one another to this level, to where if it is what you need for me to die for you, then I should be willing to give it. In that regard, I think when I look to the example of Jesus again, my response is, I've got a long way to go, and I always will. Again, in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Walk as He walked. Whenever we look to the love of Jesus and how He loved us, we spend our entire life striving to learn how to honestly, truly love other people. If you want to come to understand Christianity in your day-to-day living, this is it. "He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." That's the day-to-day living of Christianity. In this series, we saw how Jesus spoke about organized religion of His day. If we're going to walk as He walked, we need to take His teachings about organized religion and apply them to ourselves today. We saw how Jesus used the Word of God to establish authority for His actions and belief in religion then. If we're going to walk as He walked, then we need to use the Scriptures today the exact same way to establish authority for our actions and beliefs today. In our sermon this morning, we've looked to the life of Jesus, the way He lived. And if we are going to be Christians, we spend our entire life striving to walk as He walked, to live as He lived, to follow His example. whether it be his example in obedience or meekness or humility or courage or mercy or love. And whenever I look to these examples, what I see always is every single day, I got a long way to go. But even though I've got a long way to go, it doesn't mean throw up your hands and quit and say, I can't be like him. Keep pressing on and strive to walk as he walked. And when you stumble and fall, you get up and you ask forgiveness, and then you get back in behind Christ and follow his example and walk as he walked. And in so doing, you are a real Christian. There may be somebody here this morning who has not obeyed the gospel yet. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ. If you're a child of God already and you have gone into the world, you have not been walking as he walked, you have actually been in sin, you need to realize that sin needs to be dealt with. As I told you, turn from it. Take it to the Lord. Confess it to him. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the songs that have been selected.